three, way downtown, bang, bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
You don't like that? You don't like NBA basketball?
360, I'll hit him with the sauce! Got it, and one!
Fires a long one, nothing but net!
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of All Nat. I am your host, Natalie, but most people call me Nat. And today I'm joined by Dave Dufour. Like, I know you all know him, but just in case there's some possible way that you don't, he is a host and producer for The Athletic and also a scouting director for Sports Business Classroom. Right? Did I say that right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I try to make sure I take my notes.
There you go.
But I personally enjoy Dave talking, listening to his pods. And I was telling him before we actually started recording how much I just enjoy him because he remains so even keel. Not like me, guys. You know how I can get. But I love listening to him talk basketball. And I know many of my listeners also already listen to Dave. But if you don't, you should definitely check him out. Like, he obviously knows basketball, but he never gets too up, never gets too down, always brings like a great balance and perspective when everyone's freaking out. He's just like, guys, come on. So he's really good to listen to. And I'm so grateful that you decided to join me on the show. So thank you, Dave. Welcome.
I'm happy to be here. My dog is also very excited that I'm doing this podcast. I think my neighbor is having like a dog party downstairs and he got excited. So yeah, we're all happy to be here. I mean, look, you're a star.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Anyway, we're going to move on past that. So let's start. Let's just dig in. Let's start with game five in the Bay. Did that game go the way that you were expected? Did you have any expectations around the game?
Yes and no. Okay. So I know who the Warriors are, and so do they. That's been the story of the series. The Warriors have stuck to their identity, and a lot of it is Steve Kerr operating on vibes, so to speak, right? Like the Otto Porter, starting Otto Porter, and then sticking with it in game five, and we're all pulling our hair out like, what in the hell are you doing, man? And then, but again, it's the Warriors, right? And so I keep using this expression, but it's the only one I come, they would just walk up to the dam. They pull out their finger and they just start poking. And it doesn't matter what team you are, because the Warriors are going to poke you. And then eventually they're going to find a hole and they're going to poke that hole and then they're going to make it bigger. And if you can't close up the hole, then they're driving their whole fist through. And this is what we've seen over the last couple games, right? Steph Curry, if you just watch Steph Curry play in game five and you stopped all the tape before the ball goes into the hoop, he had an amazing game five.
Amazing.
An incredible game five. The only thing that didn't happen was the ball. If he had hit four threes instead of zero, everyone is blowing up about Steph Curry. And Right. Now he goes 0-for-9 from three. And it's like, well, Andrew Wiggins. It's like, I'm sorry, man, but yeah. This guy thrived off Steph Curry. But back to the game. My expectations were the Warriors were going to continue to do what they do. They've been defending their tails off. Both teams have been defending really well. I think you gotta, if you're a Warriors fan, you actually know the ways in which the Warriors have struggled against the Boston defense, because they did not shoot the three ball well. And part of that was because Boston defended it well, right? The right guys wind up with shots. Draymond just on an island by himself. Like, Boston defended well. Boston's issues are on the other end, where they're the opposite of the Warriors. They do not trust who they are at all. If things are going too well, they stall their offense and they get out of it. If things are going bad, they throw it out the window. And in this game, they threw the ball into the stands. 8 assists to 9 turnovers for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And that's the story of your game. On the other end, Steph Curry, 8 assists, 1 turnover. Boom. And so expectations were the Warriors were going to continue. How would Boston respond? I didn't expect them to be better necessarily than they were in game five, but I did think that their offense would at least stick to their identity a little bit more. But I think things are a little tough for them. Rob Williams being hobbled hurts them a lot. And it hurts them on offense too, because he's not the same vertical threat that he has.
Right. Right.
And so that's part of it. But the other thing is that these guys get discombobulated when the pressure's on. That's just reality. This is why I think the Warriors will close it out in game six.
Do you? Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was going to be one of my questions.
Oh yeah. No. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump. We're making a podcast here. I should have saved it.
No, like stop it. So in the pressers prior to the game, Ime suggested that he wasn't going to change up his defensive coverages. Did you believe him at the time? Because he did. They defended Steph differently. And I thought like maybe he would just show some different coverages, but he went all in on, you know, selling out on Steph. And I was just curious. I thought he was lying. I didn't think he was telling us the truth, because like, why would a coach really reveal what he's going to do? But were you surprised he went that route? And like, do you think we'll see that again? Or will they like just go back to what they were doing for the earlier games?
I mean, honestly, it didn't work.
No,
it didn't work, because the Warriors still got looks. And yeah, Steph 0-for-9, that's going to stand out, but he's not going 0-for-9 again.
No.
So, he got good looks and just missed them. And that
first time missing a three ever in the playoffs, ever.
And again, good looks. I mean, 132 out of 133 playoff games, this guy's hit a three. He's gonna hit seven in game six, yeah. Right? Like, everyone's worried about game six Clay. Curry, after missing a three, what does that look like in the regular season? Because we don't know, because it didn't happen in 233 games. So, you know, I do think that there's a certain amount of like, what can you do against a player like Steph Curry? There's just not much that works. I mean, we saw that the drop doesn't work, because you're doing a drop at 30 feet.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just impossible. That's too much space. Steph can get past you. I don't know. And when you've got a guy who's as solid and reliable and dependable as Andrew Wiggins, isn't that cool?
Right? Andrew Wiggins.
He's just so reliable, and on both ends, right? Like, his rebounding has been fantastic. His defense has been great. Really just giving those guys fits. I think that it went about the way I expected. I mean, I picked the Warriors. We've been doing these heads, you know, like pick the winner at the Athletic. I picked the Warriors, and I'm not surprised that they won that game.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I didn't think, I mean, the Celtics are capable, but I didn't think they were going to win another game in Chase, to be honest. So, I mean, there could still possibly be a game seven, but I didn't think they were going to win that second one. So, I expected the Warriors to win. I kind of had a sense that's how Ime was going to defend or choose to defend Steph. So none of that surprised me. And I sort of expected, because I just feel like no matter what, Steph has one of those games, like, each finals, right, where it's like he doesn't shoot well and everyone ignores the fact that he does other things well on the court or that he's still helping the team. So that's just, you know, it's going to happen. But I knew we'd have a game where like the others would step up, and I figured if there was anywhere to do it, it would be at home. And I mean, I don't even consider Andrew Wiggins an other, but like GP2 had an amazing game, and I feel like it's not even being talked about because Andrew Wiggins was so amazing. And like, when you think about the fact that where he just was coming off of that injury, I'm so happy for him. I'm so happy for both of them. I mean, Andrew Wiggins has just changed the narrative about him.
It was a false narrative.
It was.
I talked about this morning to somebody. Andrew Wiggins has been a good basketball player for the majority of his career. He played on a loser, and that's it, right? And it stuck with him. The guy was pretty good right away in Golden State. Once he kind of figured out, I mean, we saw the increase in effort. Like, the coaching staff is so good at meeting players where they're at. Instead of having a one style fits all sort of coaching approach, they really coached Andrew Wiggins instead of generic basketball player. And look at what happened. Like, this sort of rebounding effort that we're seeing out of him, it was a knock that I had on him for his whole career until he got to Golden State. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, no. There it is.
Yeah.
Freak athlete, right? And now he's putting it to use. I mean, he jumped up for a rebound last night. I mean, his nipples were at the rim. He was this high. He was mid chest high on this rebound. Now, I'm exaggerating.
He's the most athletic player in the series, or is that someone on the Celtics?
I don't. You know, that's a good question. I mean, and athleticism varies, right? Steph Curry is a probably the best athlete, if we're being honest, just with all the different stuff that he does, agility and straight line speed and all these other things, being able to change directions. But Andrew Wiggins, as far as like burst, yeah, I mean, he pops like crazy. I mean, I don't think there's anybody else. Him or Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown, another guy who's like a top 10, top 1% NBA athlete, which makes him, you know, top 0.001% in the universe. So, yeah, I think it's him or Jaylen for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I might have interrupted your thought.
No, you're good. No. I love, like, it's a conversation. This thing, look, my turn, your turn doesn't exist.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm so enamored with Wiggs. I've kind of been a Wiggins fan from the beginning, and I'm happy to see everyone coming on board now. So really happy for him, really happy for GP2. Yeah. Everyone's expecting this game six Clay, and I mean, it's just what we've always seen. But do you think we're going to get it? I feel like because we're just like expecting it and everyone's saying it's going to happen, like, I don't even want to say it because I don't want to like put that into the universe, but I'm just wondering if we're going to actually see a game six Clay.
I think so. Okay. Clay delivers, you know, and you've watched basketball enough to know that the rhythm and rhymes of basketball usually kind of make sense. Clay Thompson had a nice game in game five, a really nice game. And as a matter of fact, if you go and look at the numbers, his game fives have been pretty good.
Yeah.
Historically. I think a game six in the finals, given the fact that the last game six in the finals that he played was, of course, the beginning of the series of just awful luck for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Clay Thompson is going to have like a huge game. I hope, you know, it's funny. I'm not like a fan of any player. Well, I guess I'm a fan of Steph Curry, but like not like that. I'm not a fan of any teams. I do feel an affinity for this team, especially like guys like Klay Thompson, right? Nice guy. What do you know about him? Owns a bulldog, likes to hang out on the beach. You know what I mean?
Goes to work on his boat.
I relate, you know, I like this guy. And so, you know, given what he's been through as a player, this would be a nice sort of way to close the circle on this injury arc for him, is if he has this nice game six. So yeah, I expect a big game six out of Clay. He steps up.
Yeah. And you know, the thing about Clay, what's always interests me too, is like, he could be having a game where he's like not shooting well, but he will always hit like one of the biggest shots of the night, you know, in the game. And he's just, I don't know, that moment, like when it's like the hardest it can be, he just shines, you know? So. Yeah.
Well, you can't hit big shots if you don't shoot. And Clay is always going to shoot. That is, I mean, that's the thing. And what I've loved about, as we've watched the playoffs, is Clay rediscovering his clayness and going away from when he like was forcing, you know, these mid-range post-ups and these, you know, like forcing drives even. And now he's letting those drives come to him and proven to be a little bit of trouble off the dribble. Like he and Wiggins have combined to help put a little bit more rim pressure on the Celtics in a way that like Steph was their only guy who could attack the rim.
Right.
And now these guys as like secondary guys have stepped up a little bit, and Clay's added handle that he was in love with it when he came back. I get it. He had spent all this time doing individual drills. He forgot what it was like to be Clay as a part of the machine. Well, now I think we're seeing that, and he's blended in some of this, you know, improve ball handling and stuff like that into being Clay. This is like Clay 2.0.
What's cool. This new one-legged shot? I don't remember seeing it all the time before.
I mean, listen, one-legged shots. I mean, when did I start doing a one-legged shot? I don't know, man. I must have been like working on fadeaways one day, and you just realize you only really need your left foot if you're right-handed. You only need your left foot. So, you know, Dirk had it.
Yeah, he did.
6'7", right? He's created some space with the knee. 6'7", probably just, you know, gives them a little bit more separation, but I like it when it goes in.
Yeah, but I don't know the percentages on the one-legged shot.
Oh yeah, I know. We need somebody to get on the film and let us know.
And Loon has been big in this series. Gosh.
He's been incredible. Look, man, he played 17 minutes in that loss and then didn't start the next game, and they were getting housed until he came in. Kevon Looney has outplayed Draymond Green in this series.
Yeah.
And I think his rebounding, again, just like Wiggins, has been the key to them beating Boston and being ahead in the series. Boston is a bigger small ball team, and their small ball lineup is just better than the Warriors. So the going away from Looney has not made sense to me any of the times they did it. And as a matter of fact, I'm in love with the Looney, Gary Payton, Steph, Clay, and Wiggs lineup, because it is, I mean, that's a bunch of guys who are playing really, really high level defense. I mean, even Clay has started to defend pretty well in this series. I thought he's done well on Horford on the few times that he's had to have him. He's still, you don't want him at point of attack, but he's done pretty well. That has added a whole new dimension for them. And then, you know, we could talk a little bit about the beginning of the fourth quarter where they extended their lead with Steph on the bench. And that was Jordan Poole finally joining the party.
I was so happy. I was like, oh, thank God. Finally.
They're kidding. Well, and you know, they're getting contributions from guys further down the list of guys that you expected it from. Like, who would have thought, oh, this is a really good Looney series coming in? Now, I said that, but I say that about every series with Looney. But he's a little bit unheralded in their success. And we saw more of that in the series against the Mavs. I do think that they need a lot of Loon in game 6. They needed a lot of Loon in game 5. They needed every bit of it.
Kerr knows, though, right? This is really just about like not wanting to have Draymond come off the bench, because he doesn't want the two of them together for spacing, which I get. But it's almost like maybe Loon should be the one who's starting, but they're not going to do that. So that's my. I don't know. No one's told me that. It's just my observation.
Mm-hmm. So you think they should start? No, I'm not going to do that to you.
Yeah, he's been better in this series. I agree.
Yeah, I had the same thought that you did, that if you were going to, if the idea was we need to make a lineup change, Looney was not the change to make.
Yeah.
To me, it would be you find a way to get Gary Payton in the lineup, or if you wanted to go with more shooting, Draymond would be the guy out. Now, that's never going to happen.
Right.
And Draymond, look, he had an amazing game 5.
He did.
It was awesome. And he fouled out. That, to me, that was okay. So he gave everything. He literally gave everything he had. And so, yeah, I mean, you can't take Draymond out of the starting lineup. So you're going to take Looney out. I just play them both. Play them both.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to game 6. I initially predicted the series to go 6, but I thought the Warriors had to win game 3 if that was going to happen, because I was like, if they split and the Warriors win game 4, then they got to come back win 5, 6. I felt like Boston losing 3 in a row was going to be pretty unlikely, but now I feel like it can be done. And I don't know if that's just the fan in me, or I sort of feel like the Warriors have figured some things out with the Celtics. And I'm not sure. I mean, they'll be at home, although their home court advantage is sort of interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
Is the best way to phrase it. But I just don't know, like, if they're going to get enough offense. They might. They certainly can, because they can be one of these teams that just gets really hot. But
sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they missed 12 straight threes and then hit 9 of 10.
Yes.
I don't know, like, as an analyst, I don't even know what to say about that. Make or miss league. That's why these guys say it. That's why the old guys say it, because they were just like, well, I just see crazy stuff all the time and I can't explain. Make or miss league.
And
it works. So you're right. Like, if they come out and they shoot 60% from 3, which they could do, Yeah, the Warriors probably aren't going to win. I just don't trust them. And part of this is because I think they're out of gas.
Yes.
I think that the high minutes load, you know, and this is where I try to get people to just relax about Steve Kerr. Because Steve Kerr has set this team up to win the finals. Steph Curry could play 48 minutes in game six. He's ready for it, right? I just don't think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown can give you 48 high-level minutes.
Yeah, I mean, in general, it's hard to play the Warriors. Yeah, right.
Steph Curry is going to make you work. And the way he plays 48 is probably – he's not going to play 48 minutes. But he could. And the big thing is he can play 12 minutes in the fourth quarter in game six. Jason Tatum looked like he was just – asleep. I mean, he was dead legs doesn't quite describe what we saw from him in the fourth. And I thought he had an okay game, at, you know, for the most part, but he was fried, and it was showed up on both ends. So I think from an energy perspective, I'm favoring the Warriors also. And I think that that's just as important as the schematic stuff and the bad identity or the lack of identity or concrete identity. I think that the energy at this point, because Boston is probably the better team, if that makes sense. Like, I think that if you played this game, like if you had to play one game and it's 4 months from now and everybody's healthy or whatever, I think Boston probably wins. But I don't know, you know, because this is a, you know, theoretical situation. But it caught up to them. The season caught up to them. All the heavy minutes seems like it's caught up to them. And then Steph Curry, just he's a world beater. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're a better team. This is not the first better team that we've seen Steph Curry have tremendous success against. So, I think that they're probably out of gas. And game six is probably it. Although game seven would be better for me because, you know, more stuff to talk about.
So, you know, you're making me think about this a little bit differently than I think I have to this point, because I've been arguing the whole time that I think the teams are relatively even, but I think what I really am trying to say, which is just the light bulb going off now, is I think talent wise, I don't think the teams are that different, but as a team, you're right. Like, the Celtics might be a better team. It's sort of like when the Warriors played OKC. I think OKC was the more talented team.
Yes.
But the Warriors are a better team. And maybe that's what it is. So, and so then I've always said, like, then I give the edge to the Warriors because they have Steph, you know? Because I kept pushing back so much when people were like, the Celtics are a better team. And I'm like, no, they're not. But I'm like sitting here thinking about it again. And because so many people who I respect keep saying it. So I'm like, what am I missing? And I think, because like, I just think when you look at the talent, but you look at someone like Poole, who really hasn't put it all together yet, right? And then like, I feel like the Clay we're seeing now is going to be a much better Clay next year, right? And so, and I think the Warriors are going to have to figure some things out, because like, I mean, I think Loon is just becoming better than people even thought he could be.
Free agent.
You know, there's some regression with Dre. There's just going to be some things to figure out with this team. So I think when they really figure out how to put it all together now, they could be a better team. But they were figuring out a lot once the playoffs started, because they didn't play a lot of games together.
Right. Yeah. And well, and part of it, you're right. It's about the collection of individual talent, right? So like, Boston just has more of that. But Steph Curry is the ultimate rising tide. It very similar to LeBron James. LeBron James, you add him to any team and he makes it better. He's going to make it better. Steph Curry does the same thing. And it's not a knock against the guys that are on that team, because, I mean, there's three Hall of Famers, or four, I guess, maybe if Iguodala is a Hall of Famer, but he's not a rotation player in the NBA right now. They have good players, but it's not, they don't have the same level of individual talent, but they're a better basketball team. And that starts with Steph Curry. And he's the best player in the series to me by a great deal. I mean, yeah. This is a tier one A guy.
Yeah.
This is one of the few guys in the league that has proven you can win a championship with him as your best player. There's just not that many guys in the league right now.
3-point guard.
Right? It's Steph, it's Kawhi, it's Giannis. LeBron, kind of, you know what I mean? Like LeBron, but we need to
still put Kevin Durant in that category.
I don't know.
I shouldn't say still, because I don't know if you did, but
I didn't. This is gonna.
No, okay.
I don't want to go into. We can. I don't want to go into the whole thing. Listen, I just think that I'm on record about Steph and KD when they were on the Warriors.
Yeah.
I think Steph Curry has been the best player in the NBA since 2015.
Well, I agree, but in terms of like the tier one guys, I always had it as like the four: Steph, KD, Bron, and Kawhi, and then I added Giannis to it, and that's kind of been the group for me. But then, you know, like someone like Jokic, when his team is healthy, you know, we'd have to see. There's been some other people, but I was just curious where you land like right now, if anything has changed for you.
Yeah, I mean, KD, like, there's been slippage, obviously, coming off the injuries and stuff. I want to have a full, healthy KD season with no weirdness before I even do anything else. So he's in that top tier to me. Like, I mean, KD is a top 15 player in NBA history and can still go. So, yeah. This is not a knock. I'm not knocking any of these people. I'm like, oh, you're one of the greatest players in the league.
No, of course.
But not as good as Steph Curry.
Yeah, no, I agree. and I'm just, you know, I wish it didn't take stuff like this, but I'm happy that on some level, Steph is starting to get his flowers. I mean, still a lot of hate and a lot of silliness, like one game and all of a sudden now Andrew Wiggins is the finals MVP after a season of people saying he didn't even deserve to be an all-star starter. All-star.
I know. It's yes. Immediately switch.
Have some shame, people.
Well, that's an impossible ask. Look, Wiggins has been great, but Wiggins doesn't score 26 points without Steph Curry out there.
No.
Not against that defense. So,
and by the way, Steph's defense has been good. It's been good.
Yeah, Steph has done. He's had a complete series, as far as I'm concerned. He's done it as a scorer. He's done it as a facilitator. He's done it on the defensive end. I mean, the numbers floating around when he's the individual defender, I mean, they're real. Like, I mean, you can't just ISO Steph and expect to score. So, you know,
and
this is why those Jordan
gets worse when he's not on the court.
Yeah, well, he's a smart defender, but he's also tough and he's really strong, and that's underrated as far as defense goes. So it's been a wonderful series from him, period. The 40 point game, you know what I mean? We've got tent pole moments in the series, and then missing a three or not hitting a three for an entire game in a game they won. Like, that to me is that's a signature Steph Curry win for real, because you got to see just the way that he affects
everything.
That team, even when the shot's not falling.
Yeah.
So I you know,
and he talked about that in his post game. I don't know if you caught it, but because I don't know that I've ever heard Steph refer to his own gravity before, and he did, and I was surprised. I mean, we all know it, but I've never heard him like say that word or talk. It was actually really interesting post game to hear from him, maybe because he was wearing his Aisha Can Cook shirt, so it just had him in a different place. But it wasn't like egotistical, but it was just a side of him I hadn't like really seen before. You mentioned Jordan Poole. He's struggled at points throughout the series and a little bit even in the postseason. Like in the first couple of series, he like started out hot, and then like when the other teams adjusted for him, it seemed like it gave him little problems, but then the series would wrap up so quickly, like he didn't have time to figure it out. But in the finals, he started off slow, and now it looks like he's figured some things out. Defensively, he's still struggling.
Okay, is it struggling? I think he's drowning. He's not struggling. The fight is over. He's drowning.
But do you think it's just an effort thing with him, or like what does he have to do to get better?
I mean, part of it is, okay, so there's the play where he draws a foul on Marcus Smart, the phantom foul. Jordan Poole is just not a good enough defender to do the antics, right? Like, I just want you to just get into a stance and do the basics. Quit messing around, right? Like, take it seriously. That's what I want to see from Jordan Poole.
Okay.
A serious commitment to playing defense. It's not effort. He tries hard, but I do think there's a lack of seriousness, so to speak. Okay. And I know it's easy with Marcus Smart to kind of get tied up and, you know, I want to get you because you got me. But that's what I would like to see out of him as he progresses as a player. But physically, he's small. Like, he's getting pushed around. You put a hand on his hip, I mean, there's not much there, right? Like, he's moving. So, like, that is the bigger part of it, is that he is an easy physical target. And so, you know, guys like that, Ja Morant, like, look at how quick Ja Morant is. And he can't get it to translate on defense. Just not enough. I mean, frankly, not enough ass, right? Like, he's just not thick enough to actually do the stuff that you need to do. And this is where hopefully he gets serious about his body. And being on a team with Steph Curry, that's a good example, because Steph Curry is probably the strongest guy on that team. I mean, I know his deadlift numbers are pretty impressive, his squat numbers. And I think that when you look at how he's built his body up, and part of that is just, you know, as he got older, he kind of grew into a man. And Jordan Poole will likely add a little bit too. But he took his body seriously and got strong. Bulk isn't necessarily strength. Strength, you can be wiry and strong. Andrew Wiggins is real strong, and he doesn't look bulky at all. So I'd like to see him get serious in the weight room this summer, try to just add strength and hope that that can help with the defense and stuff. But then he's also got to stay awake when he's off the ball. You know, he gets back cut too much. I don't know. It's just, he's a young player, and he cooks on offense. And those guys are going to get, he's going to get paid, right? Well, but he's going to get paid because he has the ball in his hands a lot and he cooks, right? So I think that the offense coming so hot and heavy for him maybe makes it difficult to focus on the defensive end. But I think, you know, with the Warriors, they've got enough guys to be able to make up for that. But his role will be limited until he can defend, right? Like, you can't play him and Steph together until he can defend, because they're both undersized. Yeah.
There's a little James Wiseman news that broke yesterday. Was that yesterday? My days are running together, but he had like a plasma something in his knee.
Plasma injection. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like you know a little bit about that. So maybe can you tell me a little bit about what does that mean, and should Warriors fans be worried?
It helps speed up like healing from something, but they were saying that he might be ready for summer league.
Right.
So this is seems like it's something, I'm not a doctor, but you gotta probably worry if there's like an arthritic condition or something like that. Cause when I think about this, and I don't know if it was Regenikine that he had done, but you know, the guys used to fly to Germany and get the treatment in the knee to help speed up healing and lower inflammation. That's what it sounded like. But I didn't see any details on it. So if he's ready for he needs to play in summer league.
Yes.
Point blank, period. The guy has played, I don't know, less than 25 basketball games in the last 3 years.
Right.
He needs to play some basketball. At this point, I don't know what they can expect to get out of him next year. But hopefully he's healthy, because he's got to be healthy now to even get, like, he's got to be healthy before summer league.
Right.
Because he needs those reps. And I don't know. That guy, his development curve, we don't know where it's at.
I haven't
seen him play basketball. It's a shame. I always feel bad, you know, and a lot of people will call guys a bust or whatever. I feel bad. Like, this is, you know, this is a kid, basically. I get to say that because I'm old, but this is a kid and he's just trying to play basketball and he can't get healthy. So hopefully he can get healthy.
Knees are bad.
Knees are bad. Evolution did us no favors on the knees.
Okay. So anything unexpected that you think might happen next game? And do you think the Warriors are going to close it out? I think you said yes already.
But yeah, I think the Warriors are going to close it out. As far as unexpected, no. You know what? I think that when you get into if you start thinking about script writing the finals.
Right.
I think this is where you deliver the big finish that everyone expects. It's a big Klay Thompson game. It's a big Steph Curry game. This game could be over in the third quarter. right? Like it could be a signature Warriors closeout win in a game.
I would love that. A stress-free closeout game?
I don't want that. I don't want that. Like I want overtime, no way that's gonna happen, and I want a game though. Seven. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Well, the thing is, it's up to Boston. It's up to Boston. This is if Boston will just stick to their offense and attack the rim and generate their shots off that, they can win the game. Because I do think the series is a toss-up. It's just that the Warriors are playing better basketball. And so if Boston could just find a way to quit, you know, crapping themselves every time there's a problem on offense, they could win the game and it could go seven. And then we get that signature win in game seven.
Yeah, I know that you want a game seven because, like, you just love to talk about basketball and it gives you great content. And in theory, I should want that too. But my heart is not ready for it yet. I need six and for it to be over. Just a great game six, though, you know?
Oh, okay. So just settle for a less stress, close game where it's like, oh, okay, all right, well, if they lose, you know, we still got game seven, but, you know. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I don't even understand. I mean, you're not, like you said, you're not really a fan of a team, sort of, but I just don't understand how, like, anyone, like, just sits and watches a game seven. Like, in 2016, I literally so many times was like, I mean, I'm much better now, but then I would, like, when it got like really close to the end, I just couldn't watch. I would just like leave the room or I would like walk out the room and then come back to see what happened.
My buddy, Joey Devine from the Round Ball Rock podcast, he told me that I asked him if he wanted to watch a game. I randomly had one of the game nights off and I was like, hey, do you want to watch a finals game together? And he straight up told me no. He was like, I cannot watch these games with anybody else. He was like, I'm too invested. Can't do it. I'm a psychopath. I was like, okay. So I'm going to sit and hopefully watch a game seven on Sunday and be very relaxed. It's going to be nice.
Yeah. I usually typically actually don't like to watch games with anyone, but not when it's my team. But I am actually going to be doing playback on Thursday.
Oh, so you're going to watch it with everybody. So they're all going to see you freak out.
I don't know what I'm signing myself up for, but I'm like, let me just try it and see. So it
looks like a good time.
It should be fun. Yeah. I think the Warriors are going to close it out too, but I don't, you know, I see some people saying like, oh, I think, you know, Boston is not a team that's going to lay down. Like they've shown that throughout the postseason. Now they just may be too tired. Like they just may just the fatigue may be too much, but they're definitely like, they're not going to lay down. Like they're not defeated.
This is where Boston has to stay connected. They can't let the Warriors do what they did in the first half and get a 12-point lead. Cause they kind of like blew through their energy reserves. I think in the first 2 minutes of the third quarter and that whole run where they fought back, I really think that hurt them in the fourth. It was just so hot and heavy and I mean, they were just all over the place. Jaylen Brown had that great steal on Klay Thompson and, you know, a couple free throws. They hit some threes, but they were just moving. They were going hard. And I think that this played right into the Warriors' hands. The Warriors, I don't know if you noticed, they were, to me, lackadaisical in the first half. Both teams looked like they were kind of hungover. And it was weird how slow everybody was moving. And I almost wonder if the Warriors were doing that on purpose. Because in the previous games, it felt like early on they had been sped up by Boston. And it was almost like someone was there saying, slow down, pulling up on the reins a little bit. And coming out of the gate in the third, Boston bum rushed them and they ate the punch and they came right back with their own. And to extend the lead with Steph off the court, that was it. The game was over. First 2 minutes of the fourth quarter, it was done.
Right.
Boston was cooked.
Yeah.
With Steph Curry off the court. And so I think Boston needs to watch how it uses its energy. And that's going to be, don't let the game get away early. You can't let them get a double-digit lead in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Just can't happen. If that happens in game six, it's a wrap early. It's done early. So I think for Boston, they gotta come out even keeled at their pace. Don't get sped up. Don't burn yourself out. And don't let the Warriors run away from you, because it's just going to be a short night if that happens, because they don't have the gas for it.
Agreed. Okay. I have one more question to ask you, but before I do, just a quick message from Loop. Hey guys. So I'm so excited to announce that I'm partnering with Loop. Loop offers hoop enthusiasts and sports fans like yourselves another way to take your love for the game to the next level. They provide sports cards for card collectors and lovers of the game. Download the Loop app so you can be a part of one of the fastest growing sports communities. Use my personal link, loop.cards/natfluential. Loop is spelled L-O-U-P-E, and natfluential is spelled N-A-T-F-L-U-E-N-T-I-A-L. So use my personal link, like I said, loop.cards/natfluential. And when you use that link to download the Loop app, you'll get $20 towards your first purchase in the Loop app. All right. So go ahead, go download it now. All these details that I included will be in the description for the show, wherever you listen to your podcast, or if you're watching on YouTube, it's also available in the description for the show. And there's a link there so you can click it. Go click it. Click the link now and get the $20 towards your first purchase. Don't say I never did anything for you. Happy purchasing. Okay. And we're back. So, and I don't know if this is something you're comfortable commenting on. So if you're not, it's okay. But after the game ended, Windhorst made a remark about it being a checkbook win for the Warriors. And there was a lot of like talk about it in Twitter. And his rationale was kind of like, you know, you have to compete with the Warriors plus like their checkbook. And I thought it was an odd statement to make, because I don't think the Warriors, like people were talking about the fact that they're homegrown and all of that. And that's true for the most part, but they also, they're not like getting any like benefit, like rules. They're not like, you know, there's nothing that they're doing that any other owner in the league cannot do. So I didn't understand the comment, but maybe I'm being, you know, a little bit more sensitive because he's talking about the Warriors. So I was just curious if you had like any opinions on like what he said or that remark, because it was like Twitter was ablaze and like Warriors were really upset. And I don't know if he meant it the way that he said it, but I don't know.
Look, they won the game on the basketball court.
Right.
Right. It's not a bunch of contracts running around out there. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things that I think is kind of gross about the media. Not that Brian Windhorst was doing that.
Right.
I think his point, and this is me, I try to be gracious with people. I think his point is, this is a team that, and I don't think he went into the homegrown part. Maybe he left that part out, but they did homegrow their talent.
Yeah.
And, but they've paid to keep them, which is supposed to be the model for the league. When they set up the new CBA, the whole thing was, we want you to keep your stars, because otherwise you're just rooting for laundry. Who wants to root for laundry? I think one of the big problems that the league has is there's too much player movement. You don't know where guys are. And so like it's impossible for casual fans to check in. You know who casual fans really like? They love Steph Curry and they love the Warriors. They love Steph. They keep their guys. It's easy to root for the Warriors because their guys stay put. And they built these stars came up in their program. And they paid to retain them within the rules of the game. You don't have Steph Curry out there lobbying in the media for guys to ask for trades to come to his team. This is, to me, this is a model franchise. And so it is weird to see anybody say, like, just chalking it up to the checkbook without all of the context. But he's not wrong either, because this is actually the ideal situation. They did win it with their checkbook by keeping their team together. That's what you want. That's a win for the league. It's not a bad thing. All these broke owners should spend some money. That's player empowerment too, because you know why? They make more money.
Yeah. It's also funny because I mean, these are all a bunch of rich people, but like of the rich people, Lacob is not even one of the ones at the top of the rich people.
So. He's investing in his product.
Yes. And I love it. And after all of the difficult years for the Warriors, the fan base definitely, you know,
it's a weird thing to come away from that game though. And to say that, like, that's a weird, I don't know though, cause I'm not on TV. So I'm not sure about what the pressures are. Like, what do you have to deliver for that?
Right. But it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Of course it did. Yeah. But I do understand, like, again, try to be gracious. I know what he means. I know exactly what he means. I just, you know, it'd be nice if it was maybe like, let's put a positive spin on it. We, you know, as far as like I go, like, I think the league is better served when these guys get to stay home. And by home, I mean with their original teams. Now, I'm anti-draft. I think the draft is bad. Like, you're telling these guys where they have to work. I would rather see some free market negotiation. That gets tricky with sports. Like, you know, I understand you have to come up with incentives and other ways to make it work. But this is the CBA working as it was intended, in at least spirit. You know, we know some of the funkier stuff, but in spirit, it was intended to keep players with their teams for most of their career. And it's worked out great for the Warriors. So I would love to see the rest of the league go that way. I'm tired of player movement. It's boring to me. Love the one you're with.
Yeah.
How about that? Just do
it. Yeah, what the Warriors have done is special. And I don't know if we're going to see it again or too many more teams like it. So definitely happy to be a fan of this team. And incredible stuff. Six finals appearances in 8 years. That's remarkable stuff.
Yeah.
That's remarkable stuff. People always talk about Bron's 8 straight trips to the finals, and that is remarkable. But I think Steph's 5 in the Western Conference is equally right up there. And 6 and 8 years is like, come on.
Yeah. And especially because it wasn't manufactured.
Nope.
It's not like, all right, they signed Kevin Durant. Cool. You know, and they got a couple titles out of it. But it was about Steph Curry, and it was about Draymond Green, and it was about Klay Thompson.
Right.
And it keeps going. So yeah, I have enjoyed the run from the Warriors, and in a way that I think maybe only the Spurs have kind of been like that for me, where, like, especially that 13-14 team, you know, I've really enjoyed them. But this has been pretty fun to see these guys now, like, being older and going through it. Been a fun ride. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit rooting for them to go ahead and win.
Good. I think when you're rooting for the Warriors, Dave.
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are young. They got plenty of time. I know.
And I know no one wants to hear that, but that's sort of mean to say. But anyway, they want their time and they deserve to have it. And I understand them feeling that. But I just feel like after everything the Warriors have been through, I feel like it's their time. But I also think that Steph Curry and just the talent on the team and their experience, I think it's going to be a little bit too much for the Celtics. So,
yep,
Dave. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on. I appreciate you so much. Can't wait to pick your brain a little bit more, because there's other things I want to talk about, but I want to get past the finals first, and they have like nothing to do with this series. So thank you. I hope I can have you back on again, or just at some point pick your brain. Guys,
I mean,
like, you know, when I have people like you on the show, it's the same thing to Marcus. I'm like, I can't be telling people like, go follow.
Well, you can't put me and Marcus on the same level.
You're talking
Marcus Thompson is like the Rock. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know.
He is, but like, both of you are like, you know, I'm trying to get where you guys are. And so I feel crazy being like, hey guys, go follow these people. But if you're not, if that's even possible, go follow Dave. Great content. He's the best, as you just heard. So thank you for being on. Guys, you know the drill. Until next time, take care.